Welcome to The Truth Simply Put, the teaching broadcast vehicle of the Basilea Commission. On today's teaching, God's Word, rightly divided in the light of Christ, who is the central theme of the entire scriptures, will come with simplicity, precision, clarity, and power to instruct, admonish, edify, and build you up into the full measure of the stature of Christ. Now, let's dive straight in.
So I want to share with you, if you want a title, what I call scripted, the God story. Scripted, the God story. So if you want a title for it, many times, one of the most difficult things for me to do is to have titles. Because the message is one. You know, but I learned from scriptures that it's also important to have titles because, you know, the Bible, when it was written, it was not chapterized, right? So for memorization, you now have chapter and verses for reference purposes. So if you want to refer to this message for the purpose of reference, you call it scripted, the God story. Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Read from verse 1. Now look at this. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. So there's something about this scripture. When Paul was referring to Abraham, what Paul was trying to say is this: if you understand what Abraham found, the story of Abraham will now make a lot of sense to you. Okay? And I always say this, that sometimes your translation can limit your revelation. So I want us to read this in the Message translation. So it begins to drive home what Paul was really talking about. Amen? Message translation, Romans 4, is from verse 1. Look at what he says. So how do we fit what we know of Abraham, our first father in the faith, into this new way of looking at things? See that? If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve him, he could certainly have taken credit for it. But the story we are given is what? So what he's saying is this: if you are reading the story as the story of Abraham, you miss the point. So he's saying to you that when you read Abraham, what you are actually interfacing with is a God story. But many times we've taught Abraham from the perception of Abraham. So he's saying that what you find in Abraham is not about Abraham, but that it's a God story. So that's why, you know, I hear some people say things like, I don't believe in God. And I'm like, really, you don't believe in God? You don't believe in God? Wow. Because history, what you call history, is actually his story.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That is his story of creation.
Yes, sir.
And so you went to school and you say you don't believe in God. And then I ask you, how old are you? And you say, I'm 30 years old. How did you know that you were 30 years old? Because you were born in 19 something, right? Do you know that even the days and dates takes relevant from him? So if we're saying this is the year 2023, what it means is that 2023 years after the death of Christ. So even date takes relevance from him. So when I said that history is his story of creation, now we are getting to begin to understand. So if you say you don't believe in God, then you don't believe in dates. Then you cannot even tell how old you are. Because the only way where you can have the compass of how old you are takes relevance from his story of creation. I said, this is the mindset that you must understand. That's why when he says that in him we live, in him we move, in him, he was not being spooky. He's saying that without him, there is no compass. There is no way to tell. There is no season. There's nothing without him. Everything takes relevance from the point of view of Christ. Okay? So that's why I want to take us on this journey that scripted the God story. So because many times we look at the scripture through the lenses of tradition, through the lenses of religion, through the lenses of experience. And when you do that, what you will arrive at will not be the intention of scriptures. And that's why you hear a lot of people say things like, God told me. And when you look at what they are saying God told them, it does not line up with scriptures. And then, you know, they are so convinced. Now, many years ago, you know, I had an experience. We were in a Bible training, and the lecturer walked in with like 4 different colors of glasses and came with a reflector white sheet in a bag. And she called 4 different people out and gave them these glasses and then held up the paper. And she asked them, she said, "What color of paper am I holding?" Every one of them called the color, the color of shades they were wearing. Did you get what I'm saying? What they were calling the paper was not the color of the paper. They were calling it the color of what they could see. So guess what? As long as they had those shades on, they will fight you because what they were seeing was real to them. But what they were seeing was not the truth. The only way for them to arrive at what was accurate was to take off the shades. So when you are dealing with people, depending on what shades they are wearing, what you are saying is not what they are seeing. What they are seeing is what they are wearing. That's why we must look at it from the position of a God story. Because if you look at it from the position of the story of Abraham, you'll be confused. For example, when you come to the New Testament, the Bible said Abraham staggered not through unbelief. Excuse me? You know, sometimes you read those things and say, well, let's not argue with God. Let's just believe what he said. Even though we don't really understand it, but let's just believe. So, but what was he saying? Except you get it from the perspective of God, you won't understand what he was saying. It should just be like the joke that some guys, some criminals came to steal somewhere and they were trying to chase the car. And then this funny guy came and said, don't worry. Leave it. I know the number of the car. We'll find it. So they left the car to go. So they came to the guy. They said, tell us the number. He said, it's A4, but the rest has been covered by dust. It's covered by dust. But the guy was shouting. You know, I know, that is how a lot of people are with the things of God. Say, leave it, I understand. It's okay, give us a detailed explanation. Then they begin to get angry. Who are you to be asking me that kind of question? You are very disrespectful. I told somebody, with all due respect, sir, you did not write the Bible. So if I say it's not what you said, I'm not disrespecting you. I'm not disrespecting you. We are just looking at what has been written. If it was your book that you wrote, I can't argue with you about what you wrote. Amen. So he said, what we see is a God story. How is it a God story? How is it a God story? So we go back to Genesis 15. Because Genesis 15 is very instructive. It's very instructive. Genesis 15 was not when Abraham left all. But there was something that happened in Genesis 15 that was a turning point. You know, when Abraham left, he was in religion like a lot of people. Thinking that, you know, if I follow God, whatever it is that I'm trusting him for, I need a child, I need a husband, and all these things that we market, right? Abraham was like, you and I. Okay, there's this new God in town. Okay, so now let's try him and see. So he followed. You know, we define that. But guess what? When he left all, you know, come out of your father's house and all those things, right? The Bible did not say that because he did that, he became righteous. No. And if we're going to bring it to our understanding, what it means is, I came to Calabar on Friday, right? When I was leaving, I told my wife, I'm going to Calabar. I went to the airport, you know, and all that, and I'm here. But in the case of Abraham, it would have been that he was leaving, but he didn't know where he was going. Right? As powerful as that was, the Bible did not say, and Abraham left, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He was just scratching it. But Abraham had expectations that now that I'm now in league with this God, you know, what was the challenge in the life of Abraham? He wanted a child. And that challenge was real to Abraham. So by Genesis 15, after he had played religion for a while, then in Genesis 15, something happened that was very critical. Look, he said, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward, right? But Abraham said, Lord, what will you give me? You see that? Now, that's to tell you that this was like God greeting him. What was his response? What will you give me? Because that was what was uppermost in his heart. In other words, there's no need for this greeting. We've been on this thing for a while. If it's not working, tell us. Huh? If there's other option. Let's go. Please put it up for me. Seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. Next verse, please. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring indeed. One born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the star if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now it gets interesting. So God said to him that you have nothing to fear because there is a plan in place for that. Okay? And he said, come outside. And he was counting stars, right? But I want to submit to you today that Abraham was not really counting stars. He was not really counting stars. How do I know? We allow scriptures to interpret scriptures. So we now need to do a bit of Bible study. Okay? Who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses. How did Moses write it since he was not there? Huh? You need to go to Exodus 33. In Exodus 33, Moses, you know, was having a chat with God. And he said, you know, show me your glory. And God said, I can't show you my face. So what Moses was actually asking for was that, show me Jesus. Okay? What he was asking for. Now, and the reason why Moses could not see Jesus was because of what Moses represented. Okay? Because as long as you are in the law, you can't see Jesus. You can't see Jesus. Okay? So, Moses was asking, and he said, it is not possible. You cannot. What you have asked for. He said, but I will make a provision, and then I will cause all my goodness to pass. Then you will see my back, but you can't see my face. So when that happened, Moses was able to interact with the creation and all, and this passage that we are reading. So guess what? What Abraham was interacting with, Moses could not see. So it's like myself and Pav having a conversation somewhere, and then you are somewhere looking at us. You can see us talking, but you can't hear what we are talking about. And then you just imagine that they must be talking of theognosis. And then you document, I saw Pav and Bishop G discussing theognosis, right? But that was not what happened. Why? Because after these things, the Bible said that when he came out and looked, the Bible said that Abraham believed and it was counted to him for righteousness. That means that there was something about what he believed. Okay? Because if you believe God for a child, it's not counted to you for righteousness. Okay? So there was something about what he believed. So what was it? What Abraham saw was not star. God showed him Jesus. Hold on, hold on. God showed him Jesus. Because Abraham was thinking that, see, in my plan now, by now I should have a child. And God is saying to him that, look, Abraham, I have a plan that is bigger than your plan, but you are going to play a key role in my plan. So let me take you into what my plan is. And when Abraham saw the plan of God, he believed the plan and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So the Bible also says that that is why those who believe are blessed with who? The believing Abraham. Just like Abraham was not there when Jesus was crucified, it was shown him, it was preached to him, and he believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It's the same way you and I believe. So in that plane, we are now on the same plane with Abraham. Right? So guess what? That was the reason why when God told Abraham, come and sacrifice Isaac, when Isaac eventually arrived, the confidence of Abraham was in what he had seen. Listen to me. Listen to me. Abraham knew that if anything happened to Isaac, it will affect the plan of God. So, Abraham told the guys that were with him, he said, wait, me and this guy, we are going and we are coming back. Why? Because he believed what he was shown. He understood what he was shown, that Isaac was part of the plan. If anything happened to Isaac, the plan would suffer. So he said, We will go and worship and return. But also pay attention to the conversation that Abraham was having with Isaac as they were going. So we do this thing every time. But today's one is a bit different. We have the wood, we have everything, but the animal is not there. What did Abraham say? He didn't say God will provide for himself. He said God will provide himself. Abraham was speaking to what he was shown. Say God will provide himself. So that you can see that he understood what he was shown. That's why Paul was saying to us in Romans 4 that what we read of Abraham is not an Abraham story, but a God story. So Abraham was acting a script. He was modeling something. Now you will understand it, because sometimes people skip it. That's why I said, if you are reading it from an Abraham perspective, you will never arrive at the correct answer. So, after Genesis 15, what happened? Genesis 16. Genesis 16 is what people call the mistake of Abraham. Because it was in Genesis 16 that he had Ishmael. Okay? You know, but when I hear that, I'm like, your theology is a bit faulty. Because number one, who gives children? So why did God allow Abraham's meeting with that lady to produce Ishmael? Eh? And I tell you something, if Genesis 15 did not happen, Genesis 16 will never have happened. This is what I mean by it. The understanding that Abraham got from Genesis 15 is that God has a plan. The plan of God is a working plan, is a finished plan, and there's a part that I play. So what was the plan that he was playing? He was going to model God. Now, how did he model God? You forgot that the first time you read about a son of God, it was not Jesus. It was Adam. So if you read the genealogy, it said, and Adam, the son of God. So, Abraham also had two sons. He was modeling something. So, hear me. That's why he said, what you saw there is a God story. So, when it was time, he said, take your only son, what of Ishmael? Just like you read in scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What of Adam? So Abraham was mirroring God. So when God gave him the marching command, take your son, your only son, he understood. And when he responded in that way, God said, now I know. I know what? That you understand. Are we together? Yes, that's why, you know, we have to understand it from God's perspective. If you look at it religiously, you will say, Abraham did not only stagger, he fell. But by God's standard and instruction, he said, no, that guy was walking according to what he was supposed to do. That's why people, see, when we read the scripture, you know, you need to take off those lenses. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Bible said that for God so loved the world, not the church. Yes, sir. Because every man is an offspring of God. Every man is an offspring of God. You know, remember what God said to Abraham concerning Ishmael. He said, I will bless him because he's your son. I will make him a great nation. Yeah. That's why you should not be surprised when unbelievers prosper. You should not be surprised. I will make of him a great nation. But guess what? He is not the one. He's not the son of promise. That's why humanity has been blessed of God. And the Bible said that the gift of God is without repentance. Yes, whatever you see man do, because we all came from God. What did he say in John chapter 1? He said, in him was life, and that life was the light of men, and that life lighted every believer. Is that what he said? What did he say? Eh? That light lighted what? Every man. Okay? We're looking at the God story. So that we can understand that, see, God does not react. He acts. That's why it was not called the reactions of the apostles. It's called the acts of the apostles. Today we are breeding a lot of reactors. And what are we doing? Let us help God. The devil has taken over the world of God. Let's go spiritual warfare. Let's take it back. No! This is God's script, and everything is playing out according to how he planned it. If you don't understand that, you will struggle. Look at the story of Jonah. Let's do, you know, a bit of Bible. Let's look around scriptures. The Bible said that God also raised Jonah to demonstrate something. So he said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Warn the people. And then Jonah said, whatever the people of Nineveh did, said, no, I'm going to Tarshish. Ain't going there. And then he got into the ship and was going. And then God caused some drama to happen. And for you to know how reluctant Jonah was to go to Nineveh, he told those guys, he said, I'm the problem. Throw him inside the water. Let me tell you something. With the kind of torment waves that they had on the ship, if Jonah had told them, if you guys want to arrive, say, take me first to where God sent me, they would have taken him. But he didn't want to go. He wanted to die rather than go to warn the people. So he was thrown. And the people told him, they said, sure, you know that this is suicide note. So let your blood be on your head because you asked for it. And he threw him there. Just as the whale was waiting to receive him. But then you would think that that was the disobedience of a prophet. No. That was the script. That was God's script. Why? How do I know? When Jesus came, he said, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man. So, catch my drift. Hear me. If God ever told Jonah that he was going to go to Nineveh through the belly of the whale, he will not near water that day. So when he was on water, thinking he was going, God said, that's exactly where I want you. When he said, throw me into the river, God said, exactly the script. Let me ask you. Hold on. Let me ask you. Who gave the whale the coordinates to Nineveh? How did he know? Bible historians will now tell you why God did it in that way. The people of Nineveh actually worship the god of fish. So on the day they were gathered to worship, the whale vomited Jonah. They said, I brought a message. The whole city repented. So what was the message? That God will go to any length to save people. He will go to any length to save people. Because that was what Jonah said. He said, that is why I didn't want to go in the first place. I know you. Yes. I will prophesy and you make me look like a false prophet. So I would rather not go. Because even the prophet did not understand that the accuracy of prophecy is not in its fulfillment. Yes, sir. The accuracy of prophecy is in the fruit that it produces. You see some people say, you know, we're prophets of God. We prophesied there will be violence, and there was violence. You are a fake prophet. So Jesus said, just as Jonah was. So what am I saying to you? Many times in the seasons of your life, when you think that you have created a mess and you are seeing yourself through that mess, you don't understand that God allowed it because that mess will become your message. That it was all in the script of God, accommodated in that script. Just like people will look at Abraham and say they made a mistake. God will say, no, that was my script. People look at Jonah and said, before Jesus came and referred to what he did, many people say he's an arrogant prophet. He was running away. God said, no, that was my script. I just wanted him on water. There's a difference between magic and miracle. If Jonah was not on water, God would depend on magic to take him to Nineveh. Miracle was that he was already there. He has cooperated with God. Even though he did not know. What am I saying to you guys? You have been cooperating with God even though you were unconscious. Hey! Hallelujah. Then we go all the way back to Genesis. Because you see, if you get it wrong from the foundation, it will be difficult to arrive at the correct destination. So what do we find in Genesis? Adam was put in the garden by God. And then the enemy came and said, let's disrupt this program. Yeah, let's disrupt what God is doing. By getting Adam to go against the instruction that God gave him. Right? We know the story. How we've been taught that Eve ate apple. And I wonder why now we now eat apple. Because if it was not right in the beginning, it will not be right in the middle. But we know that the fruit that she ate was unbelief, right? Because she took somebody else's advice. And every day we eat that fruit, though. Because when we tell you that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, and somebody convinces you otherwise, you are eating the fruit that Eve ate. Why did she eat it? She wanted to be like God. But she was already in the image of God. So why do you eat all this fruit of unbelief? You want to be like God, but you don't know that you're already like God. You're already the righteousness of God in Christ. So when you eat those fruits, you are trying to make yourself righteous apart from what he has said. That was when God showed up. The first thing he asked her, who told you? Okay? But look at this. When she ate of the apple, then Adam came and ate of the apple. I've had people say things like, if Eve didn't eat the apple now, what kind of Eve? What kind of human being is that Eve? Even that Adam. I've had people preach and say things like, that's the reason why now God does not give people wife again. Because, yeah. When Adam was asked, he said, the woman you gave me. And God said, since that case, he that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. I resign. How ignorant. Hear what the Bible said. The Bible said, Adam was not deceived. Now, let me tell you something about Adam that will help you to understand that it was all scripted. When the animals were brought to Adam, God did not whisper his name to them. But the Bible said that whatsoever name he called them, that was the name. English. That means God named them, brought them to Adam. When Adam saw them, he called them what God had called them. Somebody say, I don't like all these guys. They just take too much liberty. Just calm down. Because We now saw that the Bible said that there was none that was found compatible to Adam. So God caused a deep sleep to fall upon him, and God took from his rib and made woman. Brought her to him when he woke up. Said, she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of me. Who told him? That was the realm he was operating. So he knew the plan of God without praying. For you to know what a human being looks like, for you to know, I mean, the part, if you see somebody's hand on the road, you can identify it. Why? Because you know what the human being looks like. In the same way, if you don't understand the total plan of God, if you see a part of it, you won't know it. But Adam understood the total plan of God. So when he saw a slice, he still knew that even though the enemy thought it was a detour, that this was how God wanted it. That's why the Bible says he was not deceived. So why did he eat it? It was prophetic. So that just as he was not deceived, but by eating the fruit, he fell to the state of his bride. That's how Christ came to die without sin for his bride. So it was prophetic. He ate it, knowing that that was not going to be the end of the story. He knew that it was not him. He knew. He knew that it was not about him. That his failing will not affect the plan of God. So he ate it willingly. And when God came, he was having a gist with God. He said, when I ate it, and because something now happened to him, a new realization. Something else was introduced. He said, I heard your voice and I was afraid. Because I didn't know. Just like when Jesus was on the cross, he said, my father, why have you forsaken me? But Jesus knew the plan all along, didn't he? But when he came, he said, man, this feels so strange. Never been in this space. But there's an instruction for us in that place. Look at that instruction. I heard your voice and I was afraid. God said, that's an anomaly. Anytime you hear the voice of God, it does not produce fear but faith. That's why hear me. It doesn't matter who is preaching it. If it's producing fear, it's not the voice of God. It doesn't matter who is preaching it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If it makes you afraid, it's not God. Simple discernment. It's not God, though. Run away for your life. Why? Because it will affect the system of your operation. The just shall live. So there are many preachers behind the pulpits that are actually on the devil's payroll. But they don't even know. Because they are trying to convince the people of God that God lied to them. That what Christ did is not enough. You need to drink some Zobo. You need to tie some handkerchief. You need to add some sacrifice. So I said to somebody, I said, this thing that you are teaching is very dangerous. Because, okay, if you tell me that by doing certain things, that is how I get God to respond. So why do I need to thank him? Huh? Why do I need to thank him? It's like thanking the government for making road after paying taxes. But you see, religion blinds people. We just have to do something. How can we not do anything? We need to help God. The word of God is crumbling. Let us do something. Let us do something. That's why I said it is scripted. It's all God's story. Because if that were not the case, then that God cannot be trusted. Because like something happened to his plan that we need to help him. We don't know what will happen in future that we need our help again. Another thing we forget about God is that he's not only Alpha, he's also Omega. So when he's speaking to you about next week, he has gone to the end of his script. That's why he said that I know the thought that I think towards you. Right? There are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. And to bring you to what? Why is he expected? Because he scripted it. That's why the Bible says without faith you cannot please God. Do you know why? Because every time God is speaking to you, he's speaking to you from his script for your life. And when you don't believe him, what you are saying to him is that, how dare you speak like that? You don't have the power to do what you have said. So, when you say somebody is a liar, you know, in our common parlance, lying is, I'll come for Christ's experience and I didn't go and say he lied. That's the kindergarten definition of lies. The real definition of lie is when you say a thing you don't have the power to bring to pass. That's a lie. But the Bible said that has he said a thing, will he not bring it to pass? So when God speaks, he spoke it because it happened. He's not trying to, you know, say, okay, now man has fallen. Oh yeah, Jesus, start warming up. What are we going to do? No. The Bible said before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was here. Let me tell you why I'm teaching the way I'm teaching, so that it can be consistent with your confession and faith. There is nothing that happens in your life that takes God by surprise. Nothing. Before it happened, he knew about it. He didn't only know about it. He already made a way of escape. So you must understand that we're all. That's why it is called the scriptures. It's script. Compendium of scripts. Just like you have read the script of those guys, your script is also there. That's why you should not worry. Some of us, you're just in page 2. You're already crying about what is going to happen in page 4. You can't. If God gave you the script of your life, you couldn't write a better script. Because he's all knowing. And so you must trust him to know that the script that he has written for you. See, listen to me. And this is true. Many people, it sounds heretic. But we are not going to be the first to sound heretic. Jesus did. It was very heretic. The Bible said one day he was speaking. They said, they wanted to stone him. They could not bear it. Put up that scripture. John 8:56. John 8:56. Look at it. Referring to what we saw in Genesis 15. I know that it's not just. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was. When did he see it? Genesis 15. That sounded very heretic. They say you are a small boy. What are you saying? You are older than our father Abraham. He now made it worse. He said, before Abraham, I am. No. He didn't say I was, though. He said, I am. I am. Before Abraham was, what? I am. What was he saying? That's the name that God introduced himself by. So he was telling them that, whilst you are calculating age, I am the God of Abraham. They said, bring stone. There are certain realms in God that you enter. They will want to stone you too. Because you can't, these things, the mind cannot conceive it. What are you saying? Before Abraham, I am. This guy is a heretic. Let's keep. That was why when they were killing him, they believed that they were doing God a favor. But for you to know that everything is scripted by God. They said to that guy, let his blood be upon us. Hear this. Hear this. As they were killing him, they were asking for forgiveness. They didn't know. Because his blood speaks of better things. His blood does not speak of vengeance like you think. They were saying, whatever his blood is requiring, let it be for our sake. And for our children's children. The script of God. See, that's why I don't worry. Guys, this is not being spooky. I wish my wife were here. When COVID was on, people were wearing those masks, drinking all these things. I was living my life. You know why? If in the script of God, COVID was not written for me. Why am I disturbing myself? And by the way, I believe that the church means the best opportunity to preach the gospel. Because what is the fear of men? What's the fear of men? Death. But we know that death is not the end. So when we join them to put, they now look at you, they say, I thought you said you want to go to heaven. You don't want to go again. It's not the end. Hear me. Hear me. And let that sink in your spirit. If you have not finished your script, even if you fall from a plane, you will stand up and walk. See. I stopped praying for long life. It's a useless prayer. It's a useless prayer. Once I am in God's will and purpose, Jesus said, nobody can take my life. I will drop it. I will pick it up again. Do you understand what we're talking about? It's all God's script, guys. I say we must understand these things so that we can be free. Jesus said, when you know the truth, when you interact with the truth, you'll be free. Free of what? Take four shots. I remember somebody invited me to go and see a senior minister. And when I entered, the guy said, wow. As I saw you, a naked woman was following you. You need to do dry fasting. So I said, excuse me, didn't tell you who was coming to see you? I said, if a naked woman was here, she's already leaving your office, so it's not me she came with. She's here with you. Because I know what is following me. If you see naked women, you better deal with it. They live with you. They didn't come with me. So what is this script of God as we begin to close, people? God had a master plan. And that plan was finding expression through generations. And God will look for men in certain generations to demonstrate or dramatize that plan. Yes, sir. And where was God? What was he driving at? Because you see, the very first time that we understood that it would take blood for the remission of sin was after Adam acted that script in the garden. So God took an animal. You know, kill the animal. It was not really about covering. It was that he needed the blood. So when you also find Abel also dramatized that. Because many people tell you that, you know, when you want to give to God, you know, go and take the best. Don't do like Cain, who went to bring, No. Because if you read that scripture, we read it. Is it Hebrews 8:6? Put it up. Hebrews 8:6. Look at that. What did he say? But now he has obtained a more. Where did you see this before? If you go to Hebrews, the Bible said that for by faith, Abel offered a more Excellent. So what Abel was mirroring was this. That's why, you know, the Bible makes us to understand that the difference between their offering is not what they gave, it's what they responded to. For by faith, Abel offered. We don't know what motivated Cain. Oh, you can give me, so I will give. And then God said to him that if you had done well, will you not also be accepted? Okay? So God had a plan, and the plan was in motion. And this is what the plan was about. That if I can just in time find space to come and die, so we can end this conversation of sin once and for all. So when that happened, we now began to see that for the first time we saw that blood actually speaks. That's why I wonder why people plead the blood of Jesus. Why are you begging it? Has it gone on strike? I plead the blood of Jesus. Everybody will echo, blood of Jesus. No. No. How do I know? Because the Bible said that when Cain killed Abel, there was nobody there. It was a perfect crime scene. So much so that when God asked him, he said, am I my brother's keeper? So when God told him the consequence, he said, the blood of your brother is crying out from the ground. Why? Because every time that blood is shed, spirits are summoned. And the father of all spirits is God. So he now told him that blood is speaking from the ground. Hear me. So when God said, go, you become a vagabond. He said, I don't do that to me. Now I didn't have an understanding. That means that if I understand what you are saying, anywhere I go, people will just want to kill me because the blood is speaking. Then God said, I'll put a mark on you. Okay? So he made us to understand that blood actually speaks. So, people over time will look for blood. You know, the purer the blood, the more power. That's why people look for, you know, babies, they look for virgins, they look for all these kind of things, because they now understood that the purer the blood. But the moment they made a mistake to hang Jesus on the cross, when he said it is finished, you know what he meant? There is no any other blood that can supersede this. It was the finality. The Bible said that there remained no more ritual. There remained no more sacrifice. That means that if somebody was against you, and the person offered the blood of anything, it cannot match the efficacy in the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, we don't finish. So once the blood is speaking, you don't speak for the blood, it speaks for you. That's why people see you, they just want to favor you. The blood is speaking for you. But because you don't know it, some of you have exchanged the blood for Zobo. As you take this blood, as you take it, you receive. So when you take it now, Zobo begins to follow you. Because that's what the enemy always tries to do, to make you, by ignorance, to substitute what God has done for what you are doing. Once you find rest in what he has done, then you begin to see that as you go, people be wondering, say, this one, why is your own life like this? It's the grace of God. Because it's done. Sealed with his blood. Sealed with his blood. And his will is no longer a mystery. Because for there to be a testament, there must of necessity be the death of the testator. That looks like plenty grammar until you find the lawyer. What he's just saying, simple, is that if you draw up a list, I have house in Calabar, I have house in this. It's just a will. But the moment the person that draws it dies, it becomes a testament. Not only will it become a testament, the people that you have written it for will now get to know what you have written. So before Jesus died, the will of God was a mystery to many. But when he died, it became a testament. But guess what? He does one better. He now resurrected to supervise the testament.
So the Bible said that you have an advocate before the Father. That's why it doesn't matter what the enemy said concerning you. It's just a will, not a testament. So what I usually say is that when he comes and says, "All," I say, "Satan, go and die first. Then we'll talk." Go and die. When you die, even when you die, if you like resurrect or not, we'll now begin to talk whether your blood is as powerful as the blood of Jesus. So guys, I submit to you, your life has been scripted by God. And it's a story that God is telling. So every time you hear God, believe what he said concerning you. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what the experience is. If you can only believe, you will see the glory of God. Who is the glory of God? Who is the glory of God? So if you can only believe, you will see who? Rise on your feet, lift your hands and just give him praise.
Well, that's it for today's teaching. We trust it has been worth your time. For more of these messages from our stables, kindly subscribe to our teaching podcast at www.thebasileacommission.podbean.com or via the Podbean app on your mobile device. For inquiries and further information, kindly send us an email to info@thebasileacommission.org or find us on social media with the handles at The Truth Simply Put or at WA The Church. You can also send us an SMS, call us, or connect with us via WhatsApp on +234 70 881 8864. Finally, if you would like to give to support the work that we do, kindly follow the Patreon link in our podcast or contact our office for details. Thank you.